B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Moed Katan Daf Yud Ches. We're going to start four lines from the bottom of Daf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. Tonu Rabbonon, we learned in a brisa, Keshem she'omru osu legaleach b'moed. In the same way as we've learned and we saw in the Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek that one's not allowed to have a haircut on Chol HaMoed, kach osu litil tzipornayim b'moed, divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that the same applies to cutting one's nails, that one is not allowed to cut one's nails on Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Yosi argues and says one is allowed to cut one's nails on Chol HaMoed. Ukashem she'omru oval osu legaleach b'mei evloi, similarly, regarding the period of mourning, in the same way as one's not allowed to have a haircut whilst in mourning, so too one's not allowed to cut one's nails. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi matir, again Rabbi Yosi is lenient and says one is allowed to cut one's nails during mourning. Omar Ula, halacha Rabbi Yehuda ba'oval, regarding avelus, Ula says the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that an oval is not allowed to cut his nails, v'halacha Rabbi Yosi b'moed, but regarding Chol HaMoed, one is allowed to cut one's nails on Chol HaMoed. Shmuel argued with Ula and said halacha Rabbi Yosi, the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, who takes a more lenient line, b'moed u'ba'oval, also in Chol HaMoed and also during avelus, one is allowed to cut one's nails. D'omer Shmuel, halacha k'divrei ha'meikel ba'oval. This is a rule. We're going to see more about this later on in the Masechta, that Shmuel says that in the halachas of mourning of avelus, then we always follow the lenient opinion. Continues the Gemara, Pinchas achua d'mar Shmuel. Pinchas, the brother of Mar Shmuel, Isra be'milsa. So Rashi says that his son died and something bad happened to him. Old Shmuel, his brother Shmuel, went up L'mishal taimo minei, in order to console him, to ask him how he was feeling. Chazinu l'tufra dehaven afishon. And Shmuel noticed that the nails of his brother Pinchas were long. Omer li. So Shmuel asked his brother, Amai lo yishoklis luhu? Why didn't you cut your nails? Omer li. So Pinchas answered to Mar Shmuel, Ibadi dehava. If you would be in mourning, mimazalzalus bei kulehai, would you treat the mourning period so lightly and cut your nails? And havoi kishgogo sheyotze milifnei ashalit. This is a pasuk where the pasuk in Keheles says, "Yesh ro'o ro'isi tachas hashemesh kishgogo sheyotze milifnei ashalit." There's a concept of an error that comes out from before the ruler, and that means that Pinchas, almost an error, he said, he mentioned, he verbalized that to Shmuel, if you would be in mourning. And what happened was, v'isra be'milsa b'shmuel, and indeed, that caused on some level that Shmuel would be in mourning, and one of Shmuel's relatives passed away. This time it was Pinchas' turn to go and console him. Old Pinchas, achua, his brother Pinchas went up to Shmuel, l'mish al taima minei, to ask him how he was feeling, to console him. Shoklinu l'torfei, and then Shmuel took the nails that he had cut, and choftinu l'apei, and threw it to Pinchas. He was angry, was annoyed at Pinchas. Omer Le, he said to his brother Pinchas, Les lecha, do you not understand the concept of bris krusolis fosaim, that there is a covenant that was made with the lips, that words that come out of the lips are very powerful. You are the one that, when I asked you about your nails, you were the one that said to me if I would be in mourning, and here I am now in mourning. D'omer Rabbi Yechanon said, Minayin shebris krusolis fosaim. What would be the source that there is a covenant that was made with the lips? Shenemar, it says in the Pasuk, in the Chumash, Vayomer Avrohom el Na'orov. Avraham Avinu said to the youngs, those who went with him, Shvu lochem poi, you stay here, im hachamor, with the donkey, va'ani va'anar, and I and Yitzchok, nelcho ad koi, we're going to go till there, v'nishtachve, we're going to bow to Hashem, we're going to serve Hashem, v'noshuvo aleichem, and we, in plural, will return to you. V'staya milsa, and you can see that the matter was effective, and indeed, even though Avraham at the time assumed he was going to shecht Yitzchok at the Akedah, but he came back with Yitzchok, the actual shechting didn't take place. The Hodor Tarvayu, both of them returned to that place. So that is what Shmuel said to Pinchas. Are you not aware that there's a covenant that was made with the lips? You've got to be careful with what you say. Savur Mine. The Chachomim, they understood from Shmuel that when Shmuel said before that one is allowed to cut one's nails, diyad in, that only the nails of a person's hands are allowed to be cut. Deregel loy, but the nails of a person's feet, his toes, he's not allowed to cut. Omer of Onon bar Tachlifa. Rav Onan bar Tachlifa said, "Ledidi mefarsh eliminei de Shmuel. The way I understood Shmuel is loishno de yad veloishno de regel. It makes no difference if it's the nails of the fingers or the nails of the toes, and either way, it was permitted." Omar Rav Chia bar Ashi Omar Rav ubegan nustera. But however, to cut nails with scissors, osa, that is osur. Continues the Gemara. Omar Rav Shimon bar Abba. Rav Shimon bar Abba said, "Hava ko'imna kamedu Rabbi Yochanan be midrasha b'choylei shel moed." I was standing before Rabbi Yochanan in the Beis HaMedrash on Choylei Moed. V'shoklinu letufrei b'shinei, and we saw that Rabbi Yochanan, he actually cut his nails using his teeth. He bit off his nails on Choylei Moed v'zorkinu, and he threw the nails down. Shma minot las. We learned from that that Rabbi Yochanan did. We learned three halachas. Shma minot. Number one, we see that one's allowed to cut one's nails on Chol HaMoed. Another thing we find, that it's not repulsive to remove one's nails. And there's a discussion here whether the not repulsiveness is the fact that he did it with his teeth, or if the not repulsiveness is that he did it in public. But either way, Rabbi Yochanan, with his teeth, bit off his nails in public. And we see from Rabbi Yochanan that it's permitted to throw the nails even in a public place. He was in the Beis HaMedrash. Asks the Gemara, "Eini, we have an issue with that. Is that so? V'otanya, did we not learn in a Braisa, Shloisha dvarim nemru b'tzipornayim? Three things are said relating to the nails. Number one, hakoivron, the person who buries them, tzaddik, he's a righteous person. Because we'll soon see that if one leaves them around, one throws them on the floor, it can cause harm. So somebody who goes out of his way to bury them so they should be out of sight and not be able to hurt anyone is a righteous person. Soyrfon, if you go to the extent beyond the letter of the law, not only to bury them that they could get unburied, but you're even going to burn them so they should be totally gone, chosid, that's a pious person. Zorkon, if you throw them on the floor where people can walk on them, Rosha, he's a wicked person." So you see here that Zorkon Rosha, how could Rabbi Yochanan throw the nails in the public place? Answers the Gemara, "Time of my, what's the reason that we just saw here in the Braisa that Zorkon Rosha is Shemot Avir Alein Isha Ubro? Maybe a pregnant woman will pass over them, Vitapil, and she will miscarry, either because she'll be revolted by the nails, or it's something Sgula, something which is supernatural, that just there is such a power, a property of nails that when a pregnant woman walks over them, it can cause her harm. And ishoki be midrasha lo ishchicha, and it's not common for a woman to be in the Beis HaMedrash, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan understood that to throw the nails on the floor in the Beis HaMedrash is not an issue." Says the Gemara, "V'chi teima, are you going to ask that zimnin sometimes demichneshi lehu, that the nails will get collected when people are sweeping up the Beis HaMedrash, v'shodi lehu abroi, and they'll be thrown outside of the Beis HaMedrash, and again a woman could pass over them, it could be dangerous. Why was Rabbi Yochanan not afraid of that?" Says the Gemara, "No. Kiven de ishtani, ishtani. Once they've changed their location, they're not so repulsive anymore, they don't have that power anymore, and there's no risk, it's not a danger anymore to a woman." Continues the Gemara, "Omer of Yehuda Marav. Zug, there was this pair of Tamidei Chachomim, Bo mi Chamoson, who came from the place called Chamoson. Lifnei Rebbe came before Rebbe." And then the Gemara says, "Umar Zutra, Masni." First it was Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav. Marzutra said this was actually a Braisa relating that Zug bo michamoson lifnei Rebbe, that a pair of Tamidei Chachomim came to Rebbe, before Rebbe, from a place called Chamoson. Ubikshu mimenu, and they asked him the following question. Tzipornaim, is one allowed to cut one's nails? And there's a discussion whether this is talking about the time of Avelus, which is what Rashi seems to say. Others say that it's talking, the question was regarding Chol HaMoed. The Rashi Ksaviad, I think, says that. Either way, it's a machlekas here, exactly what we're talking about. But either way, v'hitir lahem, Rebbe said it was muta. V'imbikshu mimenu, and this is Rav Yehuda or Marzutra, or they said that if you would have asked him, Sofa, are you allowed to cut your moustache? Hitir lahem, he would have allowed that as well. Shmuel Omar. Shmuel actually says, Af bikshu mimenu sofer. They actually did ask Rebbe, are we allowed to cut our moustache? V'hitir lohem, and he allowed it to them. He said it was okay for them to cut the moustache. Omar Avitul Safro. Avitul, the scribe, said, Mishmeidarav Papa, in the name of Rav, that sofer, the moustache, is mizovis, lizovis, from one corner of the mouth to the other corner of the mouth, because that's the part which disturbs and interferes the being able to eat, and therefore it's repulsive to eat that way with a moustache in front of one's mouth, and therefore one was allowed to remove that part of the moustache. Omer Rav Ami, ubesofo hama'akeves. Rav Ami said also that it's talking about the part of the moustache which is getting in the way of the eating. Omer Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok. Nachman Yitzchok says, Ledidi, I am a very big anina daita, I'm a very particular type of person and get very easily bothered. And kasofa makeves doimeli, that the whole moustache for me, it bothers me, and therefore somebody like me is allowed to remove and cut the entire moustache. V'omar Avitul Safra Mishmeid Rav, another statement from the same scribe Avitul in the name of Rav. Paroi, the king Paroi, Shehoyobi Mei Moshe, that we famously know about, the infamous Paroi by the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Hu Amo, he was an Amatol, Zukonoi Amo, and his beard was an Amatol, Upar Mashtakoi, and his member was Amo Vazeres, was 1.5 Amos long. Lekai Mashenema, this is to comply with what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ushfal Anoshim, and the lowest of man, Yakim Alei, Hashem appoints over the world. And Paroi was this very low, in all understandings, a lowly person and a short person. V'omar Avitul Safra, another statement from this scribe, Avitul Mishmei Derav, Parish Hoya Bimei Moshe Amgushi Hoya, and the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos Daf Ayin Hei discusses what the word Amgushi means. Does it mean a sorcerer? Does it mean a blasphemer? Either he used to do sorcery, and therefore he used to go down to the Nile to do his sorcery there, or he used to blaspheme and used to say that I'm God and I created the Nile. Shenema, as it says in the Pasuk, Hine Yotza Maimo, that Paroi would go down to the Nile, to the river, to the water, and that was the last statement of Rav, that Paroi was this Amgushi. Continues the Gemara, and this takes us back to our Mishnah. Ve'elu mechabsin b'moyed, the following are allowed to launder their clothes on Chol HaMoed, and one of them is Habom in Medina Sayom, somebody who comes from overseas, somebody who was in captivity, who was in jail, as we saw in the Mishnah. Omer Rabasi, Omer Rabbi Yechanon, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yechanon. Mi she'ein le'ela choluk echot. Somebody who's only got a single tunic, muta lechabse b'chol HaMoed, he's allowed to wash it on Chol HaMoed, and we already spoke about this on Daf Yudalad Omud Aleph. Mosiv Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah now asks a question. If you're going to say that somebody with a single cloak, a single tunic, is allowed to wash on Chol HaMoed, then Eilu Mechabsim B'Moed Habom Medina Sayom Nechulu. The Mishnah just says the following are allowed to launder their clothes, and somebody who comes from overseas, etc. There's a list in the Mishnah of people. Hani En. And only those mentioned in the Mishnah are allowed to launder their clothes. But Misha Ein Lo Ela Choluk Echod. Loi, the Mishnah doesn't say that if you only have one tunic, you're also in the bracket of somebody who's allowed to launder their clothes. So how can you, Rabbi Yechanon, say that if you only have one garment, you can wash it on Chol HaMoed? Why is the Mishnah not say it? Omale Rav Yaakov l'Rabbi Yirmiyah. So Rav Yaakov said to Rabbi Yirmiyah to answer this question that Rabbi Yirmiyah asked against Rabbi Yechanon, Asbur Elocho, I'll explain it to you. The Mishnah is only talking about people who have more than one garment. And the Masnisin, Afel Gavdi Islei Trei Umetanfi, that the Mishnah is talking about that the people who have two, normal people who have two garments, there's never an excuse to have to wash on Chol HaMoed. You wash them both before Yom Tov, and then you have enough to get you through Chol HaMoed. But it's somebody who's, and the Mishnah is now saying, if you have two garments, the following cases would allow you to wash even on Chol HaMoed, and it gives a list. But somebody who's only got one garment, then there's nothing to do with the list that the Mishnah is discussing. Somebody who's only got one garment, Rabbi Yechanon said he's allowed to wash on Chol HaMoed. Continues the Gemara, Sholach Rav Yitzchok Bar Yaakov Bar Giyuri Meshmeid Rabbi Yechanon. The following statement was sent in the name of Rabbi Yechanon. Clay pishton, linen garments, muta lechoivson b'chol HaMoed. There is very little effort in washing them, and therefore one's allowed to wash them on Chol HaMoed. Mosiv Rava. Now Rava's asking a question that we learnt in on Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph, that mitpachas yudaim, which are toweled, hand towels, and amongst mitpachas hasaporim, and the cloths used by the barbers, they're allowed to be washed on Chol HaMoed. Honey in, only them, yes, but clay pishton loy, but linen garments as a rule, to say that all linen garments you're allowed to wash on Chol HaMoed, it didn't say before. So Rav is asking a question, how can you, Rabbi Yochanan, say that all linen garments are allowed to be washed on Chol HaMoed? It's not what we learned before. Omar le Abaya. Abaya answered Rava's question. Masnis in the Mishnah that we're speaking about is afilu de shar mini. It's talking about any other materials. It means linen materials, you're always allowed to wash on Chol HaMoed if you need them. However, other materials that are more difficult to wash, you're not allowed to. But there's exceptions, and the Mishnah's got the exceptions of what type of garments, of clothing, of materials are allowed to be washed if they're not linen. And what are they? There's, as we said, the mitpachis yodayim, there's the mitpachis hasaporim, amongst others mentioned in the Mishnah. But that's that even though they are more difficult to wash, one's allowed to wash them on Chol HaMoed. But linen garments are not an issue to wash on Chol HaMoed, as Rabbi Yochanan said. Omar Bar Hidyo said, Ledidi chozili I saw on Chol HaMoed yamo shel Tveria at the seaside of Tveria, de mafkilo, they were taking out masichli demoni kisno, bowls of linen garments b'chol HaMoed on Chol HaMoed. So you see that they would wash these clothes on Chol HaMoed. Maskiflo Abaya questioned that. Man leimelon, don't bring me proof from what you saw these people doing on the side of the Sea of Tveria. Who says that the Chachamim were okay with what they were doing? Maybe they were going against the Halacha. Maybe they were not allowed to do it. You can't bring me proof from what people were doing. Continues the next Mishnah. The following are a list of documents, letters, that one is allowed to write on Chol HaMoed. The common denominator between all of them is that if you don't write them, it could afterwards cause a loss. If you wait till after Yontov, either you won't find who to write them, or people will deny them, or whatever the case is going to be, that therefore it's important that you write them on Chol HaMoed to make sure that you don't have any losses. And we've learned previously in the Masechta that in order to avoid a loss, one is allowed to do melachos on Chol HaMoed. We're not going to discuss this list at length. Many or most of these on the list are going to be discussed at great length later on in Shas, but we're just going to read what it says in the Mishnah. Kiddushin Noshim, one of the ways of doing Kiddushin, we know you give a ring. That's called Shava Pruta. Kesef, that's called money. But there's another way, amongst others, of how to be Mekadesh a woman, and that is to write a document. You write on a shtar, Hariat Mekudeshesli. You're allowed to write that on Chol HaMoed. Kiddushin Noshim, Vegitin, or bills of divorce, Veshoivrin, receipts, Daisaki, which is a will written by somebody who's on his sickbed, on his deathbed, matona, a gift, or prusbelin, which is a prusbel that the person who is owed money writes that he's giving over the debts that people owe him to the Beis Din, and that way, even though Shmita arrives, it will not nullify the loans. We'll learn more about that later on in Shas. Igrois shum, letters of evaluation, the igrois mozoin, or commitments that somebody makes to offer support. For example, if somebody committed himself to support his wife's daughter, his stepdaughter, that needs to be documented. Shtori chalitza umiunin, we'll learn about that in Maseches Yevomos. Or shtori birurim, or if the Beis Din, they selected what property is against what property when you've got brothers or partners that are splitting property equally, and we need Beis Din to determine what goes against what. That needs to be recorded. Gzeres Bezdin, which is court edicts, the Igres Sharashus, or government letters. These are all documents that, if they're not written on time, could cause tremendous harm if one waits, if one delays, and therefore they may be written on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara Omar Shmuel, Mutal Aris Isha B'Chol HaMoed. Now, nowadays, there's what we call an engagement that, halachically speaking, biblically speaking, has no relevance whatsoever. Not he nor she is actually married in any sense of the word after a typical engagement. In the time of Chazal, the marriage would be two parts. There would be the kiddushin, which is what today is done when one gives the ring, and then there's the chuppah, which is the nisuin, We're going to learn more about this later on in Seder Noshim. But there's the chuppah, the nisuin. Before nisuin, she's married, but one's not allowed to. There's many halachas of marriage that only start after nisuin. So this Shmuel said that one is, so the erusin is the kiddushin, which is just the first half, and after kiddushin, she is actually an aishes ish, but they can't resume marital relations till after the nisuin. So Shmuel says, Mutal aris isha b'chile shalmayid. And the Ritva explains that really acquiring a woman should be also like any transaction is also to do on chil hamayid, if it's not necessary for Yom Tov. However, Shmuel says that one is allowed to do it on chil hamayid. Why? Shemu yukadmenu achir. Because if you don't do the kiddushin and marry this woman now, right now, when she's accepting and ready to agree to get married, somebody else might come and marry her in the meantime, and you'll have lost your wife. We're going to bring proof to that. From the Mishnah of Eilu Koisvim B'moyed, the following are allowed to be written on Chol HaMoed, Kiddushei Noshim. And we assume at this point, what does Kiddushei Noshim mean? As we explained when we learnt the Mishnah, that you're writing on a shtar Hariat Mekudeshesli, which is the Kiddushin. It's what the Gemara calls Erosin. So you see, you're allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. My love, Shtori Kiddushin Mamash. So we have proof to what Shmuel said, that one's allowed to do Kiddushin on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, you don't have proof from the Mishnah, loy. Shtori psikta. It could be that this is just the documents which is just writing down what the parents of the groom and the bride, the chosn and the kala, what they committed themselves to allot to the young couple. Uktar of Gidlo Marav, as of Gidl said in the name of Rav, Domer of Gidlo Marav. Kamo atanoisin levonecho. How much are you, the father of the chosn, how much are you happy to give? Kach v'kach, X amount. Kamo atanoisin abitcho. How much are you happy to give for your daughter? Kach v'kach, such and such an amount. And omdu v'kitru, in the event that the young couple, or the couple, they actually get married, konu, then those commitments are then binding. Hein hein advarim haniknin ba'amira. This is one of the examples of things where the actual binding of the commitment is even without actually doing a new kinyan, it's just by the amira, by just having spoken it out, having verbalized it, and then they get married, it's already binding. So it could be that when it says here in our Mishnah, Kiddushei Noshim, it doesn't mean the actual Kiddushin, it means these commitments have to be written down, that we committed ourselves, we discussed the following, and these are the conclusions we came to. The parents of the groom are giving so much, the parents of the bride are giving so much, and therefore you don't have proof from our Mishnah to what Shmuel says, that you can actually do the Kiddushin on Chol HaMoed. Lema Maseyele, we'll try and bring another proof to Shmuel from a Mishnah. Ein Noisin Noshim B'Moed. We already learnt about this on Daf Ches Amud Beis. One's not allowed to marry on Chol HaMoed, the Nisuin. Loi Mibesulois, not women who have never been married before. V'loi almonis, are not widows. V'loi miyabmin, nor does one do yibum, which is something we'll discuss in Maseches Yevomis. Mipnei shesimcha hiloi, because it's a big simcha for him to get married and to do the nisuin. So you see in the Mishnah there, nisuin, you're not allowed to do. That's the second half of the marriage ceremony. Hol aris, but to do the kiddushin, which is the first half of the ceremony, shari, that would be mutar. So we have proof to Shmuel, says the Gemara loi. It could be there's no proof from there either. Loi mi boya ka'omar. It's like loi mi boya. Not only. That means there's more reason to allow nisuin over kiddushin, and the Mishnah is coming to impress on that even the nisuin is not allowed, and it goes without saying that kiddushin should not be allowed. Why would that be true? Loi mi boya la'aris, because the kiddushin loi ka'ovid mitzvah. Since you can't do the mitzvah of pru revu of having children yet, because it's only kiddushin, it's not yet nisuin. Elo afilu lisonami, even nisuin, the ka'ovid mitzvah, where you're doing the mitzvah of pru revu by doing the nisuin, asur. It's also asur on chol hamoed, and it goes without saying that even the kiddushin would be asur. Since that could be how to understand the Mishnah, you have no proof from the Mishnah for Shmuel. Toshema. We saw in a brisa, the Tana de Beis Shmuel, a brisa that was learnt in the academy in the yeshiva of Shmuel, ma'arusin on chol hamoed, one's allowed to do the erusin, avoloi kinsin, one doesn't do the knisa, the taking her into the home, called nisuin, called chuppah, ve'enoisin su'udas erusin, and even the erusin, the kiddushin you do, it used to be accompanied by a su'uda, that you don't do on chol hamoed, ve'loi miyabmin, nor yibum mipnei simchi loy, because of the simcha misun davches. Why there's an issue of having extra simcha on Chol HaMoed besides for the simcha of Yom Tov? Shema mino, from this price you see clearly, like Shmuel said, that one is allowed to do kiddushin on Chol HaMoed. Continues the Gemara, Yomar Shmuel. Shmuel explained, why are you allowed to do kiddushin? Even though there would be reason not to, as we said from the Ritva, it's like any other transaction, is because Shemo Yekadmenu Achir, maybe somebody else will grab this woman before you get a chance to. So, Yomar Shmuel, Shemo Yekadmenu Achir, the Shmuel say have such a concept? V'omar of Yodom HaShmuel, did Shmuel himself not say, B'chol yoim v'yoim, every day, bas kol yoitzus v'ymeres, a heavenly voice emanates and says, bas ployni leployni, the daughter of this person is going to marry this person. Sode ployni leployni, this field is going to go to this person. So you see clearly, it's been predestined who's going to marry who. So why would one assume that if you don't marry her quick enough, now on Chol HaMoed, somebody else will get her? Nobody else can take your wife, the woman destined for you. Not that somebody else can take your wife. Nobody can take your wife. But somebody else might daven to Hashem and say, it will bother me so much that this woman is marrying this other person, that please Hashem, make her die rather than let me see her marrying him. And that's not necessarily a contradiction to that baskel. And that's what it means. Maybe somebody's going to daven to Hashem, this woman should die. And then this person will not get his wife. And that's why Shmuel said, you should get married to her immediately before anyone can do that. Kihod Rava, as we see this from an incident with Rava, Shomei Lau Gavra, he heard this person, the boy Yerachme, he was begging, davening Hashem, V'omar, and he said to Hashem, Tis damenli planito, please let that specific, particular woman be my wife. Omar Lei, Rava said to this person, you shouldn't ask Hashem for that particular wife. You can daven. We saw in the Gemara Brachos, you should daven all the time. From when you're young, you should be davening to find the right wife. But don't daven for a specific woman. If she's fit for you, if Hashem had predestined this is your wife, then it won't slip away from you. And if it's not a wife that is fit for you, and you're begging Hashem to give you that particular woman, and your tefillahs obviously will not be answered, kofros b'Hashem, you'll end up denying, and you'll be kofa in Hashem, and you'll say, oh, tefillah doesn't work. Basahachi. At some point later, Rava heard this person, Shomei Duk Omar, he heard this person that was saying to Hashem that it will cause me so much pain if this woman marries this other person, or that means, oi ihu lemus mikamo. Either let me, this person was saying, talking about himself, either this person himself should die before she marries this other person, so that I shouldn't have the grief and the pain of seeing her marry somebody else, or ihi tomus mikame, or that she should die before she marries that other person. And again, Omale Rava said to this person, Lav amin elcho, did I not tell you, loy tiboy alo demilsa hochi, that you shouldn't be davening and begging in this way? You shouldn't be davening like this. But what do we see from here? That a person can daven that a certain woman should die before marrying somebody else. And that's what Shmuel says. If you have a wife that is happy to get married to you and is fit for you, take her on Chol HaMoed before somebody else possibly davens that she should die before you get her. Continues the Gemara, Omar Rav, Mishum Reb Reuven, Ben Atzurbili. Minatayra, in all three parts of the written Torah, Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim, it says, Me'ashem ish ol ish. Hashem determines which woman is going to marry which man. Mina Torah, where do we see it in the Chumash? Dichsiv, it says in the Pasuk, Vayan, Yovon, Lovon, Ubesuil, Lovon and Besuil both answered, Vayomer, and they said, Me'ashem yotzo adova. The matter stemmed from Hashem. Renuchal daber elecho ra'e toiv. We have no opinion in this, whether this shidduch should be or shouldn't be, and this was regarding Rivka getting married to Yitzchak. Min hanaviim d'chsiv, where in Neviim, in Novi, do we find that shidduchim are directly made by Hashem? Because it says in the Pasuk, in Shoftim, regarding Shimshon, Shimshon married somebody that his parents didn't really approve of, and it says in the Pasuk, v'ovi v'imoy lo yodu, what his parents didn't realize was, ki me'ashem hi, that this was predestined from Hashem that he would marry this woman, And there was a reason for it, but we're not going into that now. You can have a look in Shoftim Perek Yud Dalet. Min aksuvim, where in aksuvim do we find this concept? It says in the Pasuk in Mishlei, Bayis, home, vohoin, and wealth, nachlas ovois, is the inheritance of the fathers, ume Hashem, isho maskeles, and an intelligent woman is given to a person by Hashem. So you see from Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim that Hashem is the one that makes Shiduchim. And another quote from the same person, V'omar Rav, Mishum Reb Ruven ben Atzovili. Again, Rav said in the name of this same Reb Ruven, V'omri lo b'masnita tona, some say it was actually a Braisa, Omer Reb Ruven ben Atzovili, in the name of this Reb Ruven, Ein Odom Nechshad B'dovor, a person is not accused and suspected of doing an Avera, Elim Kenasoi, unless he actually did it. Vim lo yosu kula, if he didn't do the whole thing, asor miktsasa, he did part of it. Vim lo yosu miktsasa, if he didn't even do part of it, hirer beliboy lasoi, so he had some thoughts and intentions of doing such an avera. Vim lo hirer beliboy lasoi, and even he didn't have any thoughts and desires to do it, ro achirim shaosu, he saw others doing this avera of a somach and was glad. And since a person has got some association with this avera, that's why people could suspect him and accuse him of doing this avera. But a person who's got no association whatsoever to this avera, they would not be accusing him of doing it. Masiv Rav Yaakov. Rav Yaakov is asking a question on this. That it says in the Pasuk in Melochim, Vayichapu b'nei Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael, the b'nei Yisrael, attributed bad things, asher lo yikein, that obviously didn't happen, al Hashem Elohim. So you see clearly that it's possible to accuse somebody of doing something that they clearly didn't do. Answers the Gemara, over there they didn't really suspect Hashem or accuse Hashem. They were just provoking. Toshima, this is now a question we're going to ask against this last statement of Reb Ruven, who says that a person who's got no association to Navera would not be accused of doing it. It says in the Pasuk, Vayikan'u, it's a Pasuk in Tehillim, Vayikan'u l'moyshe b'machne l'aroin k'doish Hashem. They were jealous of Moshe in the camps of Aaron, who was k'doish Hashem, who was the Holy One to Hashem. What does that mean? Rav Shmuel bar Yitzchok Omar, all the men there, they warned their wives against being in a secluded place with Moshe Rabbeinu. They obviously were giving the impression of accusing Moshe Rabbeinu of doing something wrong with their wives were he to be in a secluded place. Now Moshe clearly had no association to these types of averas. Answers the Gemara, Hasam Mishum Sinahu Da'ovud, there they just did it out of hatred of Moshe, but they didn't actually believe for a moment that Moshe would have done these averas. Toshema, another Braisa question against Reb Ruven, Omer Reb Yosi. Reb Yosi said, Yehei Chelki, this is Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Yud Ches, that my share should be in Misha Choishdino Yisri B'davar V'Imboi, and my share in the world to come should be with those who are suspected of doing something that they're innocent of, that they didn't do. And that was Reb Yosi, Omer of Papa. Reb Papa also said, L'didi Choshdun, I was accused of doing something, V'loi Havabi, even though I was totally innocent. So you see here, or Reb Yosi and Reb Papa, that it's possible to be accused of doing something even though they're totally innocent. This is against what Reb Ruven said before. Answers the Gemara Lo Yikashya, it's not a contradiction. Ha Bekola de Posik. When the rumor stops at some point, we'll soon see at what point, but if the rumor stops, it's just a rumor for a short amount of time, then that's nothing. That's not the types of rumors we're talking about. That one can do against anyone. Ha Bekola de Lo Posik. When Reb Ruven said that if you're accused of something, it must be you've got some association to it, that's talking about a rumor that doesn't stop. The Kola de Lo Posik ad kamo. How long does a rumor have to endure in order that you know this is a real rumor and obviously the person being accused has some association to it? Omer Abaya. Omroli Aim, Abaya said in the name of his mother, it wasn't really his mother because his mother died when he was very young, is talking about the maid who was looking after him. Dumi Demosel, the suspicions in a city, Yoimo Palga. They have to endure a day and a half. If they survive a day and a half, then there's something to it. Vahanimili, and when do we say that a rumor that's around for a day and a half points at some association to the Avera, delay posik beinu beina. If within the amount of time, a day and a half may be considered 36 hours, then a day and a half might be 36 hours, but with breaks in between, an accumulation of 36 hours, but with breaks. I will put that. So the Hanumina deloy poska beina beina. A day and a half is only uninterrupted. I will posak beina beina. If it's not, if it's interrupted, then leslan bo, then that's not considered a rumor with any substance. V'chiposik beina beina. And even when there is a break in between in the rumor, a few hours here, a few hours there, but it's not constant for a day and a half, that we said that's not considered a rumor with any substance. That's le'omron elu de le'posak machmasira. That's only true if the reason that the rumor stopped intermittently, it was not because people had a fear of speaking about it. Avol posak machmasira. If the reason that it stopped here and there in the middle of the day and a half to accumulate to a day and a half with breaks was because of fear, loy, then we don't say that. And then since the rumors were discussed for a day and a half, even though there were breaks, but those breaks were just out of fear, therefore there is some substance to the rumor. Veloy omron elo de lehodar novat. We only say that if it didn't last long enough, that it's not considered a rumor that's got any substance, only if it didn't spring up and sprout up again at some point. Aval hodar novat, but if again the rumor sprout up at some point, loy, then we don't say that, and there is some substance to the suspicion. Veloy omron, and we don't say that there's substance to any type of rumor. Elo de les le oivim, only if he doesn't have any enemies. Aval is le oivim, if he does have enemies, oivim hu dafkua lekola, we can assume that it's his enemies that issued the rumor, and therefore there's no substance to it at all, and it doesn't point in any direction that the person was associated to this Aveira. And Emirat Hashem, in the next shir, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.